With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Martin Lee, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Extreme weather is nothing new to Formula One, but it seems more recently it's becoming an issue for these cars. Seven sessions up to the mid-season break this year needed wet or intermediate tyres. Imola, Monaco, Montreal and Budapest. Since then, add Singapore and Suzuka to the list. Now, we hear lots about how the rain levels the playing field, how it throws the form book out the window, how it shakes up the grid. Well, according to F1 legend Pat Simmons, writing for us in GP Racing magazine, it's actually the opposite which is true. We'll look at two things today. Firstly, Pat's argument that Formula One's recent adventures in the rain show that far from levelling the performance of the best to the worst, it's the best who do better. And then we'll look specifically at this generation of cars and some wet weather tyre issues. Today we ask, do downpours really level the playing field? Why do the best teams and drivers always seem to rise to the top in the rain? And why we can't think of rain as having an equal effect on machine as it does on driver? Let's get up to speed with GP Racing Magazine's editor, Stuart Codling. Codders, welcome back to the podcast.
It's been a while, hasn't it? Did I say something? Is it back in Silverstone?
Well, no, it's because you are now in the big chair with editing GP Racing Magazine, so we left you alone for a bit to get on with that. How is it going, and what can we expect in the next issue of the mag?
On the front cover is Sergio Perez. We have an exclusive interview with him off the back of what was a lucky piece of timing with his form snapping back into focus more or less at the same time as we finally begged Red Bull to interview him. We think that basically this is his best chance of winning his home Grand Prix, celebrating its 60th anniversary this year in Mexico, since it first hosted a non-championship tester event. And then, of course, just as we were putting the magazine to bed, Max Verstappen managed to get the world title over the line. So we celebrate that in the form of a Champions Parades section this month, ahead of, hopefully, David Croft. Fingers crossed.
You've got him on your mind. You can't stop thinking about Crofty.
Fingers crossed, we will have an exclusive interview with Max Verstappen in the next issue.
Have you had to be warning your subscribers about postal delays? Because everything that I subscribe to, Auto Express, Auto Car, Evo Magazine, I've all been getting emails the last couple of weeks saying, we're very sorry, we know the mag is delayed, industrial action. I guess we would be subject to the same frustrations.
Yes, very much so. I mean, hopefully people won't be kept waiting too long. But dear Lord, I'm one of those ridiculous people with the affectation of having a coffee delivery. I subscribed to Packed Coffee, and what my latest delivery took a week. I was furious.
You were very Croft indeed. Now, let's talk about the topic today, which is columnists, otherwise known as F1 legend Pat Simmons, took on the topic of weather in Formula One. But give us, first of all, a brief history of adverse weather in Formula One. When have the drivers gone out when it's been wet, going back into the history books?
Generally speaking, they always do. Wet weather has not typically been something that causes sessions to be stopped, certainly in the early days, because, you know, a lot of these people had fought in the war, darling. So a few drops of rain weren't going to stop them going out. Obviously, there were horrendous smashes. Occasionally, things might be delayed. I wish I could remember off the top of my head which was the first wet F1 Grand Prix, but I would say that the first one to suffer massive interruptions was the Canadian Grand Prix, red flagged in, I think, 1971 off the top of my head. And then in 1972, someone had the great idea of having the safety car, which would come out and cause people to file up behind the safety car, and they would then lap at a reasonable speed. However, the problem was that in those days of very basic radios and no electronic timing and scoring, the safety car picked up the wrong car as the leader. And of course, with everyone going into the pits to change tyres, that then confused everything. No one actually knows who won that race. The result is still disputed. There is the record of who won. Other people dispute it. So it's only in the years of electronic timing and scoring and transponders, which even they go on the fritz, that we've been able to keep tabs properly on the order of things. Now, we have had rain shortening events several times in the past, famously Monaco 1984, slightly less famously a couple of Australian Grand Prix in Adelaide in the early 90s were stopped before time and awarded half points. It's certainly become a more hot topic recently. I wonder if social media and people being able to promulgate their opinions noisily has an effect on that. Also, it is partly a factor of cars now having wider tyres than they used to, because in the wet, you have lots of things in play. You have the ability of the tyre to physically grip onto the surface, and also its ability to displace water. So once you pass that threshold by which a rain tyre cannot displace water, or a slick if you're being bold and going out on one of those, it skates over the top of the water surface. It's no longer in contact with the track. And that's what happened to Carlos Sainz in Suzuka, quite a violent accident. And you don't really want that. And so that's why it's become a little bit of a hot topic, because in days of yore, when drivers smoked pipes and could have a bottle of pop when they came into the pits because pit stops took so long, those tyres were generally so thin that they cut straight through water. So the only problem you had was that it was a bit slippery underfoot. You didn't have that problem of aquaplaning. Modern day Formula One does have this additional problem that the people that we look up to from what we'd laughably call the good old days didn't have to face.
Well, they were such pizza cutters of tyres that they were slippery underfoot on a good dry day. So let's talk about why Pat wanted to write this column last month, because there is this kind of myth that goes around that when the rain comes down, it levels the field. And he took the stance that it doesn't level the teams. there's other factors at play. His counterpoint is it doesn't level things out. What was Pat talking about?
Yes, it's more nuanced. You know, people like to have a simple story, and actually there are complexities at play in terms of car behaviour in particular. So let's for a moment take the drivers out of the equation, which Pat does. He talks about specifically the cars and the teams and weather, bad weather is the great leveller. Our colleague Matt Q memorably said of the Suzuka Grand Prix recently that the FIA made very heavy weather of heavy weather, and some teams do make heavier weather of heavy weather. You look at McLaren back in the 2019 Russian Grand Prix, where they seem to be looking at a different weather forecast to everyone else. Well, as Pat points out, the weather provision in Formula One is centralized. So it's one provider sends the same information to everyone. So it then becomes how you interpret it. So it's still a question of reading the tea leaves. It's just you've got more tea leaves, I think. So you have that question of interpretation. You also have an added complexity nowadays where, because of parc fermé regulations, you can't change the car's setup between qualifying the race. Well, you can, but you start from the garage, which is a disadvantage. So you make your choices in setup based on what you think the weather on race day is going to be like. So that then is a differentiator. And if we just look back to the most recent race in Japan, what was one of the major talking points of that race? Lewis Hamilton can't get past Esteban Ocon. And I was sitting there watching it with my wife, and she said, well, why can't he get past? And I hit pause and said, look at the Alpine's rear wing, look at the Mercedes rear wing. There is a substantial difference between the two. The Mercedes have added downforce. So that is something that differentiates between cars in the wet. You also have the fact that some cars, when the wind is blowing directly at a Formula One car, or either straight on or backwards on, then pretty much the cars generally feel the same effect. But some cars are more yaw sensitive than others. So that's crosswinds. So some are more affected by crosswinds than others. So that is another cause of variance between the cars. And then, of course, we get into the issue of tyres and how they're thicker nowadays. And you don't have that they're not made with the same funny chemicals that are highly carcinogenic that they used to be in the 80s that helped them stick. So nowadays, your wet weather tyre is entirely dependent on its ability to just make water disappear from under it. The trouble is that if the tyre makes water disappear from under it, it has to go somewhere. You know, Sooty doesn't come along with his magic wand, go izzy wizzy, let's get busy. The water goes up in the air, which then creates a visibility problem for the cars behind. So that there is Pat's explanation for why rain in some contexts is not necessarily a great leveller, because not everyone is operating on the same playing field.
And when we talk about extreme weather, he also approaches the subject of extreme heat. And actually, again, extreme weather at far ends of the scale is not a leveller, because if you have to then open up your car for cooling in terms of the aero, those that are better at the aero stuff, less of an issue now with ground effect, but still, they get an unfair advantage. It doesn't level the playing field. It makes the best get better. How does temperature affect things?
It affects a lot, and it's more scientific these days, because even as recently as 15, 20 years ago, you would see at venues such as Malaysia, which was hot and humid, more recently Singapore, teams having to cut extra holes in the car because the engine was overheating. And that's not what you want to do, because the car's cooling capacity is a function of the aerodynamics, and everything on a Formula One car is subsumed to aerodynamics. Aerodynamics rule supreme. And one of the things you don't want if you want an aerodynamically optimal car is to have whacking great holes all over the place, because they create drag. So you actively run very close to what you think you can get away with in terms of the cooling apertures. So that's cool at that. The air coming in and also the air coming out, because if it comes in, it has to go out. So that flow has to be ensured and maintained all the way through. What teams are trying to do nowadays is play this very scientific game of brinksmanship with weather, where they have as minimal cooling as possible. They have the least they can get away with in order to ensure that aerodynamic efficiency. If you get those sums wrong, then the chances are your engine will go bang. And of course, some power units don't all have the same cooling demands. So some require more cooling than others.
We get to the end of Pat's point, concluding that weather doesn't level the teams. Actually, extreme weather does the opposite effect. Those that are doing a good job with their cars, and we've taken drivers out for now, actually get an unfair advantage. In terms of levelling the playing field, you want a nice, still, windless day, about 20 degrees or something. And the minute you start to add those weather effects, it just means that those that do a good job do an even better job.
Yeah, the people with more resources, more expertise to throw at a changing scenario are going to have more agility than people who don't. Although sometimes you see a team gambling in certain conditions and sometimes it pays off. But something we have to bear in mind is you only ever hear about it when it pays off. No one crows about when a gamble went wrong. So you have, what people who engage in debates call survivorship bias, where instances of success are trumpeted much more loudly than the incidences of failure.
Well, I will get on to some of that bias next and look at the great wet weather drives and whether we'll see many more of those in the future of Formula One. Those are coming up, and we'll talk about how we can fix our wet weather problem. Stick around, that's coming up.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Okay, welcome back to the podcast, and today we're talking about Formula One's weather problems. So we've talked about Pat Simmons saying, look, actually extreme weather doesn't level the playing field, but that's taking the drivers, that was a technical article, the drivers out of it. When you add the drivers in, Codders, look at the great wet weather drives, and I just listed some, there's way, way more. Hamilton in 2008 at Silverstone, Damon Hill in Suzuka in 94, then there was the that kind of aggregate race, thank goodness those days are gone, versus Schumacher. Senna, there's a load of them you can pick from. Lap one at Donington. His first race at Monaco, I think, was wet in the Tolman, but also in Estoril the same year in 84. Famous title decider with James Hunt at Fuji and Niki Lauda calling it a day, knowing when enough is enough. So we look at those great drives from great drivers. Vettel's first win in Monza in his rookie season. Verstappen in Brazil, setting everybody else to beginner, mode on the sim. When you just take the driver as someone who can make a difference, when the rain comes down, that's when great drivers do great races. Or have we just forgotten about the times when, Schumacher shunted into the back of Coulthard? It's like, oh, that wasn't such a great moment.
Yes, once again, we do have the survivorship bias going into these equations by which we draw up these lists of great wet weather drives. And certainly there is a nuance here. Like, there are some drivers who do have a feel for wet conditions. And I would nuance that even further. Sorry, just to add another layer on your complexity cake. The greatest wet weather drivers, or the greatest exponents of wet weather driving, are, to my mind, not necessarily people who are good at driving in what we might, I don't know why I'm making the little inverted commas signs with my hands when we're doing a podcast, but
I can see you. It was nice for me.
The really, really great drivers are the ones who have that feel for when the conditions are changing, either getting more wet or less wet. And they have that feel for the changing grip conditions beneath the car and the adaptability to recognise when the right moment is to change to a different type of tyre, like when the crossover point, as the commentators call it, when the time comes to swap to slicks. They are the genuinely great drivers. And not everyone who's a great wet weather driver drives brilliantly in the wet. We've seen instances of just this year, Lewis Hamilton having a couple of races in wet weather and not doing brilliantly. You know, there was a slip twixt cup and lip in Singapore. Imola wasn't great. It had a terrible start off the wet side of the grid and then had a slightly undistinguished race, which had, you know, the commentariat saying he should retire now. The fact that you're a great driver doesn't necessarily guarantee, even if you're great in wet conditions, that you will deliver those great performances time after time. You're statistically more likely to. You will have off days. Although I think if before people come screaming for my blood, you could say in the defence of a lot of drivers in the current grid, the cars are very difficult to drive in the wet when they've been behind the safety car because they lose temperature, and tyre temperature is everything in tyre performance in modern Formula One. So once you've lost that temperature, it's very difficult to drive. And you saw Sergio Perez having his knuckles wrapped for falling away from the safety car in Singapore. And he said, well, I couldn't actually go any faster without going off because my tyres were too cold. So with all that in mind, yes, we can all come up with a top 10 of brilliant wet weather drives. You've cited many of them. How many of those came about? Partly because the driver, although they were transcending their machinery, they were slightly assisted by the inadequacies of their machinery. So if we zoom in on Jean-Pierre Beltoise in Monaco in 1972, someone who you wouldn't necessarily say was a great, but on that day he was brilliant. 1983, also at Monaco, Keke Rosberg. Beltoise driving a BRM, it was heavy and it didn't have a very high rev ceiling. It just made very steady power all the way through the curve. There were no peaks and troughs. It wasn't like a Cosworth V8, which was a little bit more savage. So on that day, that helped Beltoise, and it just gave him an edge. He did drive brilliantly. You know, the Autosport report cited him overtaking everywhere. He was full of confidence. Moving on 11 years, Keke Rosberg, 1983, Monaco. It was wet before the start. Conditions, Cameron, maybe, is it going to dry? Maybe, maybe not. Williams and Keke decided they would start on slicks. Brave decision. But there was a differentiator between Keke's car and everyone else. Most of the other cars were turbos, so they had light switch style power delivery. Keke was saddled with the naturally aspirated engine, but it was a lot more friendly to drive in those conditions. So Keke was obviously brilliant in the wet on the day, but he was helped by having a car that was less disadvantaged by its power delivery. But then again, you know, you could dial back further in time, look at the 1963 Belgian Grand Prix, also Jackie Stewart, Germany, 1968, people who finished 4 or 5 minutes ahead of everyone else just because they had, firstly, that wet weather virtuosity. Secondly, as Jackie Stewart admitted, I just needed to be in front because I didn't want to be blinded by spray. And then from there, boomf, that was why he was in the zone on the day. So there are many factors that underpin the great wet weather performances.
That was a different era of Formula One. And whilst F1 isn't a spec series, it is a very tightly regulated formula series. So the machinery, the regulations, very, very converged. Why have we had this problem more recently in terms of the modern Formula One era and races not even starting? Okay, lighting gantries going out, accepted. Delaying the start to a race when we can see what the weather is like. We have sets of tyres. It's kind of a common social media thing to be posting pictures, tagging the FIA, saying, hey, remember these? They're full wets. how easy it would be to be an armchair commentator. It's a really complex issue. So what's the problem with modern Formula One?
I think it's become naturally more risk-averse from the governing body's point of view. In some ways, that's no bad thing, because it's when you ignore risk or dismiss risk that accidents happen. And what we've seen from all the bad accidents in the past 20, 30 years, it's not necessarily one thing that happens to trigger it. It's lots of little things that you could and should have seen and jumped on. And safety in Formula One requires a state of constant vigilance. And we were reminded about that the other weekend when Johnny Tractor Driver toddling along the track while Pierre Gasly was chasing to catch up the pack behind the safety car just before the red flag was flown, as I've written in my editorial this month. Or was it the race report? The optics of blaming him for that were not great. Yes, Formula One's become more risk averse because no one wants to be sued in the case of injury or death. And also, as we covered earlier, there are certain elements of the technical package that militate against being able to go out in wet conditions. One of those is that it is technically possible to create what you might call a monsoon tyre. But the problem with that then is that it is displacing so much water that it creates poor visibility. So I think when people sit on their sofas, I'd say comfy and warm, but winter is approaching, so we'll be sitting over a match or something wrapped in a blanket with the lights off. It's very easy to look at footage on TV and say, well, that's safe enough to drive. I could go out in my Skoda right now and drive in that. But the TV footage doesn't necessarily reflect conditions on the ground. And certainly in Monaco this year, I was seeing people go on social media from hundreds of miles away. And I sort of climbed up on the stool in the media centre and looked out the window and saw these huge puddles on the ground and thought, well, no.
No, thank you.
No.
I don't fancy it. And I'm back to the free sandwiches. Yeah. Or lack of.
Or lack of. Well, yeah, Monaco, there are certain greedy people who I shall not name who help themselves to multiple rolls.
We've already segued into Monaco Sandwich Gate, but let's not dig that one up again. It's a really fascinating look at the weather. Thank you so much for joining us today. Final question. Do you think we'll ever see those legendary wet weather drives again in Formula One?
I'd like to see that, because when you look at the current crop, we can look back through history, look down the list of champions, of serial champions, people who've won the world championship on multiple occasions, and pretty much all of them has at least one outstanding wet weather drive. You might say that, controversially, Alain Prost is possibly the exception to that. Always Mr. Cautious. But pretty much everyone on that serial winners list has got one of those races that is in contention for a top 10. And wouldn't it be great if Max Verstappen, who is undoubtedly very good in the wet, you know, we saw him take off a second a lap. Wouldn't it be great if he was able, if the circumstances permitted him to have one of those races that was not just commanding as the Japanese Grand Prix was, but actually outstanding because, you know, he had to fight his way through the grid for one reason or another and literally embarrass everyone or finish 8 minutes ahead, which can you imagine the complaints, the rage if Max finished 8 minutes ahead of everyone else?
Yes, I can. There's so much rage right now. That's for another day. Thank you very much for joining us. A fascinating conversation as we head towards a weekend. I doubt there'll be too many weather issues in Austin, but you never know with Brazil. We head to that towards the end of the season, so we'll wait and see. Thank you for joining us on the Autosport Podcast today. We'll be back soon.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Wendy's knows cold and soggy fries are the worst.
So soggy.
That's why we're serving up hot and crispy fries all day, every day.
And all night until close.
With natural cut potatoes, sea salted to perfection.
Show me that potato skin.
Wendy's hot and crispy aren't like other fries. We're your dream fry. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's hot and crispy fries.
Guaranteed to be hot and crispy. If yours aren't, bring them back and we'll replace them.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.